Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
Since 2009, HRN podcasts have been exploring the wide world of food, beverage, and agriculture. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Hello and welcome to Snacky Tunes, coming to you the morning after our latest Snacky Tunes Salon live at Chow Now, and it was a great night. Deeply appreciative to everyone who came out, all of our sponsors, chefs, restaurants, and the community just coming out to chat about food and sports in celebration of March Madness. Today's episode is just a recording of the live panel, and we thank and intro everyone at the top of the conversation, so I won't do it here again. And please look for the next one coming up later this year. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy Snacky Tunes Salon live from Chow Now here on HRN. All right, everyone. Welcome to Snacky Tunes Salon March Madness Edition. Thank you all for coming. Big thank you to our generous host, Chairman Chris Webb, and a special shout out to Aaron, Nicolette, Noel, and Molly for helping set this up. We had this idea last year to do something around sports and food, which I think for all of us here are two memories that are tied together. So I couldn't think of two better chefs to be here. But first, also a big shout out to Skydust Beer and Jumbo Fun Wine for keeping my patience flowing. And our wonderful network, HRN. If you guys want to support, it'd be great. So listen, I'd like to introduce our guest, the corporate chef of Momofuku, Jude Parasickle. Welcome. He and his team are responsible for the delicious wings. And Pika Palace, Abish Naran, thank you so much for coming. They have the delicious street food snack. Very spicy, very delicious. And thank you to the executive chef, Miles, for helping cook as well. Appreciate it, buddy. All right, let's start with the big stuff. Who's winning your bracket this year? Did you do a bracket?
You know, I am actually ashamed to say I have never filled out a bracket.
Okay.
I always watch March Madness. I always watch college basketball. I'm not a big fan throughout the year, but I've actually never done a bracket.
Yeah.
I'm not ashamed to say that I've never filled out a bracket. I mean, there's no point. Like, people who don't even watch the sport like end up winning all the time. You never know what's going to happen in college ball.
Yeah. I mean, look, I took Gonzaga all the way in 2001. They lost in the first round, and I think that was the last bracket I ever... But they turned it around, I think, years later. But yeah, I feel the same way. People are like, oh, I don't know anything. I'll just pick this team, and then they win all the money.
Crapshoot.
You know, I think about, and we're talking about sports and food, and I didn't grow up as a basketball guy. I grew up as a hockey guy. Go Flyers. They're in the dirt right now, but whatever. We can talk about that. That's enough. Thank you so much. What I remember about it is we never get fast food growing up. We would always get to stop by McDonald's on the way down to see the Flyers play. So I'm trying to think, what was your earliest memory of food and sports?
You want to start, Chef?
First of all, I just wanted to clarify that I'm not the chef of Peter Thoth. That is Miles Shorey. I just own the restaurant. I give credit for it, too. I think that food and sports have always been tied together for me since I was young. All those memories have something to do with being Indian at some auntie's crib. She's cooking some it's always the stuff that we do at Pizza Palace, all the stuff I grew up with.
Mm.
French fries, pizzas, all with some sort of Indian topping or flavor.
Yeah. And what sports are you watching?
Football, basketball, to clarify, NBA, NFL, and then mostly those. Even though I live right by Dodger Stadium, it was those two specifically that I was watching. Mm. Not NHL, so shout out to them.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Shout out. I mean, I remember when the Kings took all the five players and won the cup, but that's, never mind. All
right, Jude?
Yeah, for me, I think it's kind of twofold, right? On the one hand, my memories are kind of, the first place I go is, you know, playing sports growing up as a kid, you know, Little League, basketball, and then, like, you know, snack after the game or going after pizza after the game. And then the kind of other side is going to, you know, specifically Dodger Stadium and, you know, some Laker games when I was a kid and, like, the food, the hot dog, and, like, you know, just kind of pigging out and all that kind of stuff. You know, the peanut vendor at Dodger Stadium who would, like, throw the bag,
oh, yeah,
you know, 20 rows up, like, on the money. You know, that's kind of, you know, the two sides of it for me.
And I think you guys hit on the nostalgia aspect, but why do you think food and sports overlap so much?
I think that they're both things where, like, all people of walks of life, all different walks of life can just, they share that in common. Like, no matter, like, what your background is, they're both things that bring people together.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think also, like, you need something to do while you're watching sports, right?
Yeah.
and, you know, you're watching these amazing athletes perform these incredible, you know, feats and, you know, performances, so, you know, what better way to kind of, you know, further exalt them than by just, you know, gorging yourself on the couch and, you know, putting yourself in even further contrast with these amazing athletes that you're watching.
Yeah, yeah, I think you could take down another way. Really, really match that string.
I remember when Pia Palace was buzzing around because, you know, talking about food and sports, the sports bars that we sort of grew up with was very one type of thing, you know, peanuts and beer, and it's fine, but it didn't have style to it. So what gave you the idea, what hole did you see in the restaurant scene that you thought that there could be a new type of sports bar?
I don't know that I saw a hole. It was just something that came very natural. I wasn't seeking to fill a gap. It was really just started off with, I used to go to Julio's and Artesia a lot. Really enjoyed my time there. I grew up at that restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Since the original iteration in Eagle Rock, loved what they were doing over there. Wanted to do something. I went to culinary school, spent a lot of time working in restaurants and just like I love the culture of restaurants and wanted to do something that was a little bit more polished. And then Pizza Palace just kind of naturally formed from my love of restaurants and restaurants.
And have you seen equal amount of people coming in for the restaurant and the sports? Are you seeing that type of person who shares love for both as a customer?
You know what? I think that, I don't know, the restaurants really just like, become something that's like out of reach for me. Like originally I wanted it to be like super sports bar, like everybody's coming in to watch the game, but like I don't know, now people just come to eat, leave, they don't give a shit if sports are on or not. But every now and then when we do get people, I get stoked when people come to watch sports.
Yeah.
But for the major events, Super Bowl, surprisingly, like tennis, like we have a big tennis crowd at PG Palace, which I didn't expect. I didn't know it was like, yo, dude, you gotta come through for tennis. For the major ones, PG Palace is full with sports people. But during the regular year, like regular season stuff, we're not. It's like 10% of the people in the room are sports folks.
That's fair. I do think that the way the timing worked out for especially U.S. Open, West Coast is the best way to watch almost every single match and going to place and like watching and tennis and even sports. And knowing that you like take your eye off the ball literally for like points at a time probably helps.
You asked the wrong brother.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm telling you, okay. Jude, on the flip side, you know, I know that, and I was going back and reading about some of the earlier for Major Domo at LA Open, and part of talking about is the pocket of LA and how people sort of stay in their own pockets and being so close to Dodger Stadium and now the Crypt, formerly known as the Staples Center. was a big choice of why the restaurant is where it is. What is that relationship that you have with like the major sports teams coming into the restaurant?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, first and foremost, if you've been to Major Domo, or even if you haven't, you know we are certainly not an easy to find or get to or, you know, particularly trendy or popular area.
Sure.
And so that was sort of something that really motivated us very consciously in the beginning before we opened, is that we're like, okay, we're next to Dodger Stadium. The Dodgers are a beloved institution of LA. People are willing to drive, go through traffic in order to go there and show their, you know, fandom. So like, how can we as a restaurant make it, you know, worthwhile for people to seek us out, go through the hassle, go through the traffic, make, you know, the products we're serving and the service so good that hopefully people will be willing to put in that extra effort that they would similarly going to a Dodger game and all the, you know, rigmarole you have to go through to get there. So that was always sort of like a guidance for us in the beginning and even now. And we're fortunate enough to have, you know, also developed a relationship with the Dodgers. We have, you know, a lot of players come in sometimes after the game, different, you know, people who work for the team, executives and whatnot. We also do some catering now pretty regularly for the last 2 years for the Clippers, you know, team and staff post-game, which has been really interesting and enjoyable to you know, further ingrain ourselves, you know, with the community and the sports community in LA.
So when you work directly with the team, what goes into that? Are you trying just to give them high protein, you know, through the matches, what they need for their sports body, or they're like, I just played a game and I want something very delicious and I don't want to think about the health?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. It's been a balance of both. I mean, we've worked very closely with the team chefs and the team nutritionists, and like every time we do, you know, every time we do cater a post game for them, there's always like little adjustments that we've done over the last couple of years, like, you know, more of this, less of that, you know, the player favorites, things they want to maybe cut back on, whether from a, you know, taste standpoint or just from a dietary, you know, athletic nutrition standpoint. So we definitely, you know, I think tried to keep the Major Domo DNA, but, you know, sort of filtered it and catered it more specifically to, you know, the needs of the team and the player, not only from just something that's going to be delicious and satisfying after a big game, but also, you know, in line with, you know, the strict regimen of the diet throughout the season.
I mean, I think you hit on one of the things about when you're talking about food and tied to sports is that obviously you have your basics, your internet, wings and chips and things like that, and now where food is today, you can really put your own stamp on it. What have you guys found in that freedom to make food that goes in that sort of snacky, traditional way, but making it your own?
Yeah, I think you can sort of, you know, the way I like to kind of balance it or approach it is like take something that's kind of like familiar in many ways and put a different twist on it or elevate it in a certain way or take it in a different, you know, direction. I mean, I think like, you know, I've had, you know, Lay's potato chips like a million times, but I've never had it like that, and that was super delicious and tasty, right? I think everyone here in Sportsland has had, you know, chicken wings in various forms in various places, right? But maybe they never had a smoked wing. Maybe they never had a, you know, they might have had a hot honey, but maybe it wasn't like fermented like the hot honey that we did here tonight, right? So like taking things that are familiar and delicious and approachable, but, you know, kind of taking them in a different direction, elevating them in some way.
At Pigeon, I don't really think that we try to, we don't really like emphasize on trying to elevate it. We just try to put them through a different lens or perspective. I think that, you know, Indian food is still new to a lot of people in America.
Sure.
And so this is a cool place. This Fusion Pops is a cool place to see Indian flavors in an American food.
Yeah, and I think what you guys are doing and having sports players get more into food and wine is great because you've seen them talk about it more in the media. You know, a lot about wine has come up, but I remember Baxter Holmes' piece on peanut butter and jelly that came out a few years ago, and I remember that as being one of the first pieces where I was like, oh, these guys really think about food, and like food as like a huge part of their diet. So I know you mentioned that you had different celebrities, people come in, but what has been the response from the players and the people when they talk about food? Have you seen them understand food better and want to know more what goes into it?
I mean, for the Clippers that we do, I'm not really there for when the players actually come in and eat the food. Like by then, we're kind of already set up and are long gone. But it is interesting, like I mentioned, to sort of see how when we do the next game a month later, what feedback we get from the players and from the team staff, what adjustments the chefs, team chefs that is, want to make or see if we can do or potentially offer and sort of focus the what we do to match more of their tastes and needs.
Yeah, we've also seen food play a big part in TV as well. This is in the Bear had Coach K as like an off-camera type of character in it. But in one episode, they talk about every service is like the Super Bowl. So what mentality do you share going to service every night? Is it that important? Is it everything's like the big game? How do you prep for dinner or lunch or any sort of opening?
Yeah, man, I definitely think there's a lot of kind of parallels between going into a service, going into a game, right? First and foremost, like just having, the team and everyone's role in that team being, a lot of importance, right? And how, it really is, you need that team in order to be successful, despite whatever certain star you may or may not have. The emotional intensity, the time and effort and, put into preparing for that service, before that game, I think, has a lot of kind of parallels, and then it's just sort of a very, huge effort of energy and output that you have to do, and, hopefully, whether it's a game, you left it all on the field and win, or a service and you've done your absolute best and hopefully have a lot of happy guests going home that night who will one day return, it's all kind of the same in a lot of ways.
I think there's also just a lot of pressure. Like, in sports games and just, like, I know that Miles and the crew are just always just, like, grinding. They work hard. They work really hard to make every service happen. They execute. It's every day. It's like going to a sports game. You make it to the end.
I think the other thing I'd like to add to that, right, is like, the kind of vulnerability to critique that we, as cooks or as chefs or as athletes, have to be open and accepting to, right? Like you spend all this time, years, whatever, working on your craft, and like but anyone watching or anyone coming in to eat could in a heartbeat just shit all over you, and hey, maybe sometimes the criticism is valid or whatever, but either valid or not, you still have to, as a cook, as a chef, as someone in the restaurant or as an athlete, you have to be open and willing to take that criticism and
Yeah, it's like all the Monday morning quarterbacking is the same as if he yelled with you, right?
Yeah.
I was reading about this stuff, I found that different cities, different sports teams, mostly in baseball, have underground eating competitions based on the different cities that they're in. And I want to talk about the Philadelphia one. So there's a cheesesteak eating competition, and it's over the amount of games that you play in a series of 3 or 4 days. The winner being Adrian Sanchez, who ate 10.5 cheesesteaks in one day while being an active player, and he thankfully did not go on the field. But you talk about competition at home eating, so I'd love to know what some challenge do you think you could win, and in what city if you were to eat that city specialty.
Like, eating competition, or like
eating. With champions show up, style like chili, tacos, beef sandwich, deep dish, your choice.
I mean, I don't know what city this would align with, but I feel like I can eat an infinite amount of shrimp cocktail.
So I would say Miami Dolphins,
Vegas,
yeah.
New Orleans, sure, yeah. I'll just, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I'm going like somewhere in line with that, man. Just like some small crushable, like probably end up with hepatitis or something. But like oysters.
Yeah.
Oysters, dude. I'll take hep for that. Whatever. I crush it.
Just down watching the Saints crushing after oysters.
Yeah,
by
yeah.
The
oysters is a good one for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good. It's pretty light work, though.
You asked the question.
I did.
I'm
just saying, you started with Philly cheesesteaks.
What about you? Is that what you're saying?
No, I would do, if I had to pick maybe tacos here in LA, like the small street taco size.
Oh, you get destroyed.
If I did one tortilla, not two.
Okay.
No salsa.
No salsa?
Dozen. Maybe a dozen. I mean, look, I went to Mexico City and had 4 dozen tacos over 3 days, so I feel confident in like what I could do.
Hey.
Yeah, crabs at the Ravens game. So looking back on all the sports you experienced, now that you've built a reputation around it, sports like, what stands out to you the most? Either when you've eaten in the field or something you've taken. But what was the moment when you were just like, take that from food, watching a game, and you're like, it doesn't look better than this?
I think for me, it was kind of recreating at home for my family a sort of like Dodger Stadium food experience, making some loaded nachos, buying Dodger dogs, grilling those off, like sort of kind of like replicating, you know, a lot of South foods, peanuts, everything, you know, chocolate, malt, and carnation, but just having all that at home and sort of like melding those two experiences was sort of like, hey, this is great, and I spent way less money than I had.
Yes. Yeah.
Mine's Rasawadi chicken. It's like a Indian curry dish.
Mm-hmm.
Every aunt's got their own like spin or flavor or way they do it, but this is, it's not just a singular moment. Those are the series of moments that led to me opening up Pizza Palace. It was just like, man, this shit is the fucking best. Like, I need to do this for everybody. It's just, yeah.
That's beautiful. It's beautiful. And that's one of the great things that you're talking about, like something that everyone can experience and everyone's sort of tied to it. You know, years ago, before I got married, I always went to Tokyo and see a baseball game in Tokyo. Luckily, I got to do that with my wife, my honeymoon. And so now that you've got all this stuff, you guys have cred, I know you just got on a plane and seen the world. What would your dream food sports tour be if you could go anywhere in the world and eat anything in the sport?
Dude, I'm not gonna lie, like, sports out of the, I don't know that I'm, like, sports out of, like, you're talking world, but like,
world.
I'm not paying attention to shit outside of the United States. this is the pinnacle of, like, outside of soccer, maybe, like,
sure.
This is the place to be for sports. I mean, I guess like I'm gonna let you go first. I don't even know why I cut you off.
I've heard amazing things about the baseball games in Japan and Tokyo.
Yes.
I have not been, but I think that, you know, they're legendary. I mean, I think I don't know. I think just something first for me would be what the sporting event would be. So my basketball, NBA basketball is like what I'm the biggest fan of, so I'll say like, you know, NBA finals, courtside with champagne and caviar. I don't even know if they serve that in the finals.
I think you're saying courtside.
Yeah.
I think in the finals, it's all but often like what you can't have. I think they sort of cater to what you want. Throw some fried chicken in there, champagne, caviar.
Yeah,
okay. Baxter's nodding yes. He's like, I've seen it.
Yeah, Baxter will make it happen for me.
Yeah.
I think romantically, I like the idea of all that, but I don't know that anything, I'm too humble. I just like, and nothing beats the Dodger dog for me. Like, it's
sure.
Just like, I don't know.
What are your thoughts of the Dodger dog switching from Farmer John over to, I'm not even sure who it is, but a couple years back, basically.
I don't know. I mean, look, I grew up eating Huber National. I never even had, like, what is it? Is it pork dog? Pork hot dog?
Yeah.
I was not, this is not my body.
I don't even know that. Honestly, if you put a book in front of me, I don't know if I'd be able to tell the difference.
You would.
But, man, I don't know, some of the brands, Dodger Dog, man.
Yeah, I know.
Who the fuck else has Dodger Dog? I can't even put that on a menu.
I mean, to be fair, if we could be eating Dodger Dogs when the Dodgers win the World Series this year, that would be pretty
cool. That would
be
sick, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. We were always speaking of that. Yeah. And speaking of that, if they don't win, is this the year that Roberts goes?
I mean, if it hasn't happened already, how could it not? I was, you know, a lot of people were calling for his head like 2 years ago, every year. So, I mean, like I said, there's no excuse at this point, you know?
Yeah.
They'll probably lose. The better the team gets, the worse. Honestly, like, yeah, I don't know. Like, having great players is gonna shit. Baseball is the most crapshoot sport.
It's like the streakiest, right? Like,
yeah.
Like the right team at the right time,
exactly.
The right team at the wrong time, and anybody can beat anyone. You know?
Yeah, we don't. Well.
Astros, that's.
Yeah, no one's had dream game in Astros. I mean, I don't need a team to get hot this year, like the first half. Same for the back half. Well, listen, I cannot thank you guys enough. I appreciate all the food that you provided tonight and all the opportunities for to have meals while the game is on or after the game, before a game. So thank you guys both. Thank you to the teams. Thank you everyone for coming out. We have one question from one punk fan.
Who was your favorite athlete growing up?
All time or current?
There's only one answer. There's only one answer for
I didn't even watch this player, but like John Stockton, just all time leader in steals, all time leader in assists. Like, what the fuck, dude? White guy?
The most unassuming dude.
Yeah, like. Yeah, me.
For me, I think it's probably from my earlier years, Magic Johnson, and then sort of adolescence and beyond is Kobe.
Woo!
Bravo.
Right, the question is, what would you cook for each of these people?
You probably hate pizza pops.
Yeah.
For Kobe, I'm going Italian, you know, and spent a lot of his childhood in Italy, so I'm going to go, you know, pasta and chicken parm.
Should have said Dennis Rodman or something.
Oh, and we got one back, David.
Yes. What is a major demo slash Momofuku sports bar look like? What's the item that you serve specialty aside from the things that we had tonight with Food Delicious?
Thank you. I think a lot of the food that we, you know, do currently or have done in the past, so the restaurants definitely could slide right into a sports bar type setting. Fried chicken, fried chicken and caviar, the various steam buns we've done over the years, all the large, spreads and large format dishes we've done. So I think it would definitely be a very, over the top, celebratory, boisterous sports bar.
Yeah, it's a vibe, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we got one more. Question.
Thank you. As two people who are very familiar with like very high level food, I think that everyone here is lucky enough to also enjoy that, but we all have our favorite little like guilty pleasures. What are both of y'all's like guilty pleasure, just like crush it, can't stop eating, you did not make it. What are y'all's?
Yeah.
Are you gonna say Dodger Dog again? You're gonna say.
I don't think I'm guilty about it.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever it may be, like I'm in for it. I'm trying to think of something that like I like that I don't admit that I don't like to admit that I like. I
think like guilty, like I feel so bad after eating this, but I do it all the time and I love it. But fucking the Tommy's chili cheeseburgers.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking man, dude. They're never on any burger list or anything. I'm gonna fuck, man. I grew up on that shit. It's so good.
That's definitely a post game on the way home. Yeah.
Bro, honestly, that shit's gonna kill me.
I think just like for me, it's just anything that I'm crushing like late night, right? I really try not to be too late at night anymore, but you know, whether it's like, you know, tacos or a diner or you know, something that I just like getting all the way down on, like but again, like I said, there's nothing that I like to eat that I don't like.
Yeah.
I mean, the late night thing has really killed me. I really can't eat late. I mean, I will say that the Trader Joe's Ridge chips, which I get for my kids, it's a dad answer, but I will black out the happy bag of the dog, and then I'll be like, who ate all the chips? Look at my kids. Don't tell the kids. But yeah, I mean, anything that's just like, French onion dip. Anything that like, I grew up thinking that I shouldn't be eating this. Like, I didn't really grow up eating like bacon or like French onion dip or like fast food. And so whenever I'm eating that, there is a part of me in the back of my mind that's like, what are you doing? And then I just get like another order.
I'll add on to that. I think for me, the two things to kind of reframe your questions. Two things that I can't stop eating, or three things that I can't stop eating if they're in front of me. Kettle sea salt vinegar chips,
yeah.
Haagen-Dazs coffee ice cream, and sweet tarts. I will take that down without any. I can't stop.
Those gummy things, they're just pure sugar.
No, the OG sweet tarts.
All right, one more question if we have one. If not, we got one right here. Hold on.
Okay, we get a microphone anyway. Pisha Palace question. Do you enjoy the Olympics? Which I do. And what will your programming look like this summer when they're in Paris?
Oh, okay. Do I enjoy the Olympics? Oh, absolutely. It's my favorite thing. I watch them when they're on. I don't think I'm like, I don't know too many people. I don't really have conversations about the Olympics. I didn't know that like there were people like that. I didn't know. We'll have mine for you. You know what? That's one of those. I bet it's gonna be like tennis up a piece of time. You know what? There are some points during those Olympic sports where shit just gets really intense. Like, you start cheering for your team, like, you start cheering for your country, you don't know who any of those motherfuckers are.
Yeah. You're like,
yeah.
I'm all about it. All right, so we got drinks. We have a little bit of food left. Hang out. Thank you so much, everyone. Thanks.
We talk about food. About music with musical dudes, finger on the pulse, Snacky Tunes.
Snacky Tunes is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.